There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Off and running here on a Tuesday. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Hello, good morning. A lot to get into in the next 3 hours. Out of the gates, Pauly. We're just going to get right into what we watched last night with the Monday night doubleheader, the Bills taking apart the Titans, and the Eagles looking like that against the Vikings. I don't think I've ever seen Jalen Hurts play like that in my entire life. So we have that to get into. We have quarterback controversy maybe with Tennessee, and this Bills team now with the power rating is just, I mean, if they navigate the schedule with how good they were again last night, think about this. They have taken apart the Super Bowl champs and the one seed in the AFC a year ago, and they're not even close games. They should have beaten the Rams by 30 points, right? They should have scored 45 in that game with if you eliminate the turnovers. Here's how the schedule goes. At Miami, at Baltimore, Pittsburgh at home, at KC, the bye week, then Green Bay. If they get by this schedule, and it is not easy, obviously, but if they're 5-1 or 6-0 going into that break, as we talked about in the preseason, what are they what are some of the numbers we're talking about here with the Bills? I mean, that number before the season started was 4 at home to Green Bay. Could they be 7?
Yeah.
They probably could be.
Yeah, as we discussed before the season, that the schedule was front-loaded. And the what-if scenario, if they get off to a hot start, they'll be tested now coming up with 3 of the next 4 on the road. But you were throwing out, after they ambushed the Rams, you were throwing out look-ahead lines. I was laughing at them. Like Jets and some of the, I mean, that the line didn't significantly move early on against Tennessee, and we thought Tennessee was going to have a bad year. Everything you said, I mean, they didn't play well against the Rams with the turnovers. You don't have Davis. They struggled a little bit in short yardage last night. Still no problem, 41-7. So
is that going to be a problem this
scary.
Year?
Sure. Well,
Mitch Morse goes down last night, the center. It looked a little wobbly there after that.
Well, stop with the shotgun, please, on 3rd and short. That'd be one thing. I don't
care for that. This was a thing under Brian Daboll too, where they just said, and I loved it. They're like, why do we have to run the football? Why? We don't have to. I can just throw it every single down.
Yeah.
And they pretty much did.
Maybe sometimes too much of that, but
it could be.
But again, how this guy's done a 180 here, and maybe the best quarterback in the NFL. It's incredible what Allen has become and what he's doing. But that's going to be the one seed. Very important, though, because of the weather and also the rabid fan base. That's going to be important. It's the same thing with the Eagles, which we'll get to coming up. But who knows? There's no telling. because how high these spreads get.
Again, that number, if you go back to the Friday after they defeated the Rams, we were kicking around those numbers that you brought up, right? And I said, Paulie, what do you make the number at the Jets? You said, I think 13.5. I'm like, that's probably where it should be. It was it was 7.5 at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can kiss that adios. Uh-huh. That's obviously going to be a bye-bye. But look at some of these games, though. I mean, all of a sudden, like that Bills-Lions game on Thanksgiving, what do you put a total on that, 58?
Yeah, you know, Lions can't stop anybody.
No, absolutely. And they're going to be able to get their points as well.
Uh-huh.
So that was just, I mean, we are, I think, and before the season started, you have a guy like Chris Andrews, who's been doing this for a long, long time over at the South Point, and he tweeted out, he cannot recall a team ever being as low as plus 375 before the season started to win the Super Bowl. That's what they were offering at the South Point because people just kept betting it, right? They could get into, I mean, 2007 Patriots territory is a far-fetched idea because they eventually were laying 21, 24 points in their games. But that's the kind of team that they might get in that neighborhood anyway. Look at this now. They were 4.5 against Miami on the early number. They're already 6.
Now think about that. After what Tua just did, 400 some yards, 6 touchdowns, and Hill goes off along with Waddle, and they're on the road, and they're laying 6.
And Miami did that in Baltimore.
That's right. Right. And the flip side is disaster in Tennessee. I mean, this is just, you had to worry about Tannehill after the 3 interception performance in the playoffs and then seeking help, professional help with a shrink. I mean, this is that pick 6. What are you doing? But their offense, and you can't get Henry going. Great job by Buffalo to shut him down. But losing Brown, and you can't trust Burks. And then they put Willis in there, too. I mean, number one, this division's a mess. That's the only thing saving Tennessee right now. But now this is a huge game Sunday against the Raiders. Because you lose this. Then they got that kooky schedule where they play Indianapolis 2 times in 3 weeks.
I hate that.
So that'll decide their fate as well. But who knows when they make a quarterback change. But this Tannehill was just pathetic again. 100 yards. I mean, look at the yards. They had 187 yards, and they're getting blown out. Can't move it in crunch time.
No.
Blowout time.
That's always a bad sign, right?
Sure it is.
Okay, so, yeah, who's the best team in that division right now? Is it Jacksonville?
Yeah, it might be.
I mean, things can change, obviously. But I think 8-9 can get that done in that division. There's a chance where that's a realistic possibility.
Maybe Denver figures their issues out, but certainly Houston, to go there and have a chance to win. Houston will get better offensively, but they blew a 17-point lead late against Indy, and then they were right there with the Broncos, too.
Sure. So, and I'm looking at their overall schedule again. I mean, let's be honest here, folks. They're going to go from the 1 seed last year in the AFC to dropping off and, you know, very good chance of missing the playoffs in that conference this year. Why do you not go to Willis?
How bad does it have to get? Because you're still going to be in the – you figure to still be in the race because the division is so bad.
Well, I got news for you. They can be 0-5 going into the bye.
Yes, they could. Yeah, because after the Raiders, it's Indy, at Indy, Washington, and then Indy again. My God, then they have more road games coming up.
Well, because if they go – let's say they stick with Tannehill, and there's no point because Tannehill's never going to lead you anywhere here. After the bye week, they play Indy at home, at Houston, at KC. If they lose 2 out of those 3 games and they get Denver at Green Bay – you're going to have to put Willis in there at some point, very soon, middle of the season. And here's another point to this. Of the teams that took these quarterbacks like in the 3rd round, obviously the Titans are one of them with Malik Willis, the Falcons with Desmond Ridder. At some point this year, if you're going to be really bad, we need to see if these quarterbacks can play, and here's the reason why. Pull up any mock draft right now, and you're going to see 4 or 5 quarterbacks going in the 1st round, and these quarterbacks are thought of on a totally different level than the quarterbacks that came out last year, right?
Yep.
So if you spent 3rd-round draft capital on a quarterback last year, but you're in the top 5, top 7, you're looking at Stroud, Young, Levis, maybe Richardson, and those quarterbacks are going to be going bye-bye right away. And again, if this tier is like right here in 2022, the other tier in 2023 is way up here per expectations.
Good point. The coaching staff's not doing them any favors either. This Vrabel-Downing tandem that they have with bizarre play calling and not helping them out. The other thing is, what do I stop with the Bills? They don't even have Davis. Okay, I'll spread you out. I'll send Diggs deep. I have Knox in a crossing route, a shallow route. I can send him over the middle. I have Crowder, too. I can dump it off to McKenzie. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Allen's a linebacker. He can just take off and run and stiff arm a linebacker and get him out of the way, too.
Yeah.
And they can run design runs for Allen as well. I mean, what do I stop? That's without Davis. I mean, you put Davis in there, and you see why they're so good offensively.
I think that we can have a conversation about the MVP at some point where it's going to be, well, what do you think about Tua with 469 yards and six touchdowns? What do you think about Mahomes? How about Herbert? Other quarterbacks, and it's going to be like, well, Josh Allen's going to be on a 15-2 team. I'm throwing out huge numbers now on purpose. And he's going to have, you know, 4,800 yards, and he's going to count for 53 touchdowns.
Yeah, I
passing
know.
On the ground.
It probably comes down to record because everyone's going to put up sick numbers. But I'll tell you, as I said before the season, look at this Eagle team and look at the schedule. And now Hurts plays like that. He's 17 of 20 for 250 passing and 50 yards rushing at halftime. If they're the one seed and they can win 13, 14 games, they're $1.60 to win the division. I can't believe it. I mean, that guy was awesome last night. But you just see that. And that Shane Steichen, of all people, used to be the quarterback here at UNLV. I mean, between Steichen and Sirianni and what they're running, that's another one. What do I take away? Great offensive line. The game plan by the Vikings defensively. I mean, you're inviting them to run.
They allowed every single big play in that game.
Oh, God. The short, deep, wide open, piece of cake. The dump offs to Goddard. Pick, cover up, try to stop something. But I can dump it off to Goddard. I have Brown over the middle. I can go Watkins deep. I have a design runs for Hurts. Sanders is a good back. I mean, they suddenly helping him out, having the same system, and surrounding him with weapons, that looked like a great offense last night.
I will say that if Irv Smith doesn't drop that second touchdown,
oh, that's a big drop.
That's going to be 21-14. And also, yep. If Justin Jefferson runs the correct route
right
in the end zone,
yep,
that doesn't get picked off by Slay.
Yep.
So
bad job.
I can't believe I'm saying this because it did not appear to be a close game if you were watching it the entire time with your own eyeballs. But that's a totally different game if a couple of different plays happen.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if the Vikings were ever going to get any stops when it mattered most, but that's Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football now, 2-10 overall.
What was that? Every time Gannon brought pressure, just throw off his back foot and throw it up for grabs.
He did.
Looked like a rookie out there.
Up for grabs the entire time.
What is he doing? Terrible. 2-10 Monday Night Football. You can't even count them. Two of the wins are against the Bears. I mean, come on.
Lousy. And that's called a good defensive game plan and how you try to attack shutting down somebody like Jefferson, unlike what Green Bay did in week one.
Right, right. Good job, Patricia, too. You think Detroit could use Slay? Patricia didn't think he was elite.
That's right.
Why are you working out with Sherman and Talib? Told him. And Slay's like, I have to get out of here.
Sure.
I hate this guy.
And Slay, he hears it the entire time. And he watched the film. He's like, I'm not going to let Jefferson do this to me tonight.
Oh, incredible.
And
job.
He was pissed off. He had an edge last night. But I've never seen Hurts play like that in his entire life. And I like Jalen Hurts. I've never seen that before from him. He was phenomenal last night.
Well, hey, they hit week one, too. I know Detroit has a bad defense. That's a good test Sunday. They go to Washington and win. And we'll do it coming up later on. I mean, this schedule's a joke for Philly.
And I got some other news for you. Like, there's a good chance the Vikings are still, like, this is week two we're talking about. The Vikings are going to have games and stretches where they look really good this year. And the Eagles said, not in our house.
Yep.
Not tonight.
Great performance.
They
Great
were
game plan.
Excellent.
Offense and defense. Great game plan.
Yep. Kick off the football season with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is your go-to sportsbook for every line, boost, and special. Lace up for week three with Bet Rivers Parlay Insurance and Touchdown Insurance that they offer every single Sunday all season long. Build a parlay of at least four legs, and if it loses, get your stake back as a free bet up to $25. Wager on any player to score the first touchdown on Sunday Night Football and get your money back as a free bet if they score at any time. Head to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app. It's a whole new game. A 40-1 shot came in last night. We'll talk about it in win-lose. And top five Tuesday quarterback coach combos we either want to bet on or stay away from right now. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled Kalshi, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Horse racing fans, First Bet wants to invite you to enter their free sweepstakes to win a trip to Santa Anita, October 6th through the 9th. The grand prize package includes airfare, hotel, tickets to the races, plus a $1,000 betting voucher from First Bet. You get to hang with Jeff Siegel as well. Head over to VSiN.com/horses to register. Great promotion. Get up there. Show them some love. VSiN.com/horses. Time to activate Beast Mode. Matt Humans joins us now. Great job, Matt, on the Friday night show. And how about Chuck Edel, who's the leader, 9-1 so far?
Yeah, the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Chuck Edel is, like you said, 9-1. 1-1 of his best bets. He did lose his best bet last week, but hey, man, you can't expect a guy to be perfect. Chris DeBear Felica, Steve Fezzik, and Randy McKay, all 7-3 and 2-0 on their best bets, and James Salinas 7-3 and 1-1, and Jeff Whitelaw would be right there with him. He's at 6-4 and 1-1 on his best bets. But how about this? His best bet was the Raiders. How sickening is that to lose that Raiders play on Sunday?
Oh, well, Matt. I mean, there were three games on Sunday that were just total gut punches. That was one of them. The Browns game, and then the other, the Ravens. I mean, they're 35-14.
Yeah. Those games were absolutely insane. It seemed like the Raiders won that game, won and covered that game about five times.
Yep.
And somehow they found a way to lose it. I just watched the replay again tonight. I don't know. You know, it was 23-15, and the Raiders got a defensive stop on Kyler Murray, and there was a flag in the end zone for defensive holding, and they showed the replay. Where was the hold?
That's right.
That was a phantom foul. Nobody's talking about that flag. Where was the penalty?
Mickey Mouse. I know. Well, Lombardi brought it up yesterday. That was it. No one touched Ertz. It was like that call in the Saints game that extended the drive. Tampa was going to have to punt, and then it led to a touchdown. So this run here for Buffalo, biggest point differential in two games to start. Now they go to Miami, and they're feeling good about themselves, and the Bills up to 6. What do you think of this game Sunday?
Yeah, I almost laid the four with the Bills yesterday. And I don't like to play road favorites in the NFL, but, I mean, the Ravens are very tempting this week against the Patriots, and the Bills are tempting. And now that the price is a little bit higher on the Bills, I wonder if sharp bettors are going to try to beat these Buffalo Bills every week. Because, you know, the lines, the perception is the lines are inflated, and the Bills are going to be laying high prices. And the sharps will come in on the dog in most of these Bills games. But at what point do you just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to call it quits. I don't want to get my head beat in by the Buffalo Bills. They've won, what, 22 consecutive games by double digits? The last 22 wins have all been by double digits.
What? Wow.
Yeah. It's insane.
Oh, my God.
Last night, I was on the Titans plus 10 and Eagles minus 2. And, you know, I got my head caved in with the Titans, had no chance, stopped watching the game early in the third quarter. I will say this about the Eagles. I've been talking about this team since May. Jalen Hurts is a lot better than people think.
Yep.
This Eagles team is legit.
Yep. Totally agree. That's your one seed in the NFC. And the other thing is, I know Ross Tucker talked about it during a preseason game. First time since high school he's had the same offense 2 years in a row. Same system. So he looked phenomenal as well. So I'm with you on the Ravens, too. I mean, the Patriots won the game, but they didn't show me anything, and they had 10 points late till Gunner fumbled the punt.
No, you're right. Nobody wanted to win that game. I think the Steelers just found a way to lose it. So I'm still not that impressed by the Patriots, and you got to think the Ravens are going to be ticked off after blowing that big lead. The Ravens are a better team than the Patriots anyway. So I haven't made those plays yet, but, I mean, it's awfully tempting.
All right, little college. How about this nugget from Brad Powers? His database goes back to 1976. Tennessee's never been laying more than 7 against Florida. Ooh. Well, it just happened. Tennessee's 11 against the Gators. What do you think of this game?
I think the number's too high. You know, I make my college lines every Saturday night before the circuit openers, and I made Tennessee in this game a 7-point favorite. So it's up to 11. I'm taking the 11. Actually, South Point's got 11.5. And I'm going to try to take that 11.5 at South Point here tonight. But Florida, how about this? 16-1 in the last 17 against Tennessee with 11 wins by double digits.
Jesus.
And Hendon Hooker has been lights out. He's been phenomenal, a quarterback for the Vols, even going back to last year. But he's 69% completion, 6 TDs, no picks this year. The thing that is a little bit confusing about this game, there was so much talk about Anthony Richardson, the Florida quarterback, after that upset of Utah. He's got some of the strangest statistics I've ever seen for a quarterback this early in the season. For a guy who's hyped, you know, he's got 0 TD passes, 3 tackles, and 4 interceptions.
Oh, wow.
But he does have 134 rush yards and 3 TDs. I think he topped 100 rushing yards against Utah. But the bottom line here is I think this number's getting away a little bit in a series that's been one-sided in Florida's favor, really, for the past couple decades.
Yeah, okay. Good call by you guys, too, before the season. I know you disagreed big time with the polls and thought Tennessee was a top 15, top 10 team as well. Listen, A&M won the game, but that was Miami was pathetic, especially missed field goals, bad offensive play calling. A&M was begging to get beat in that game. And Miami couldn't take advantage. Now they're taking on Arkansas.
No, you're right. And I like Arkansas here. KJ gets a much better quarterback with KJ Jefferson. He's got 70% completion, 770 yards, a 6-1 TD to INT ratio. Raheem Sanders is a big-time running back. I think a lot of people are probably a little bit scared by the Hogs and you know how they had to struggle to beat Missouri State over the weekend and that comeback win. But really, if you look at A&M, this offense is so anemic. And I backed off my Miami play last week when Max Johnson was promoted at quarterback because I thought he was going to be a big step up from Haynes King. He wasn't really a big step up. I mean, he did help the offense a little bit because you can't stack the box so much. Max Johnson's a little bit better passer. But he was 10 for 20, 140 yards. Not that great. A&M was outgained by the Hurricanes 392 to 264. I played Arkansas in this game last year, and I'm playing the Hogs again. I took 2.5 with Arkansas.
We have a couple of common plays this week, Matt. I'm also on Florida plus the points. And, look, I love this Washington Husky team. I've watched them play twice so far this year. Penix looks phenomenal. But you're right, we're betting numbers, not teams. 13 against Stanford in this spot. I think Stanford's actually pretty decent as well. Why did you take the Cardinal?
Yeah, Stanford's got a couple weeks off, too, since the LSU game, which I think could be a positive. Hopefully our team's healthy and well-prepared for this game. I made Washington a 7.5-point favorite. Again, not saying that my numbers are always right on the money, but I've also got Stanford only 2 points worse than Michigan State. So you go back to last week, Michigan State's a 3-point dog at Washington, and Stanford's getting 13. So I think this line's a little bit out of whack. I do like Tanner McKee, E.J. Smith, the son of Emmitt Smith. I think they got a pretty good 1-2 punch there on offense. Stanford, I believe, is being underrated by a lot of people. And again, Washington, Kalen DeBoer was a great coaching hire. You know, he brings in Michael Penix, transfer from Indiana. He's already got over 1,000 yards passing at the 10-to-1 TD to INT ratio. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about Washington. I think Stanford, which, by the way, upset Washington the last time the Cardinal went to Seattle. I think Stanford's going to be live to win this game. So give me the 13 points.
Did you see a little excitement out of Derek Stevens that the Mexican pizza's back at Taco Bell?
You know, I talked to Derek over the weekend. I was with him quite a bit, but that didn't come up. And that's surprising. I'm going to bring that up on the Friday night show when he's in there with me, because I've had a Mexican pizza every day since it's come back.
What about you guys? Jeez. Huh? No, I have not had one every single day, Matt. No.
Well, I would advise it, because it's good and it's good for you. Yeah,
it's good for you. Yeah, I told you that. That's sleep. Taco Bell got to go up your rankings, my friend, a little bit. How about the guys who showed up last week? They had this T-shirt on, the Matt Youmans fast food ranking T-shirt.
That was great.
That's a good looking shirt. Yeah. That's awesome.
I was stunned. I can't believe people actually wear that shirt in public. But hey, that's great, man. Yeah. I hope it was a lucky shirt for him. Yeah, I'm also playing. I'm taking Wisconsin Mets in the 18. I don't think you're going to like that play necessarily. I don't think many people will. But again, to me, I think it's similar to the Notre Dame game where the numbers inflated. And I think the Badgers can take the air out of the ball with a running attack and keep that game within reach. So Wisconsin plus 18 is my last underdog tonight.
You can read Matt's content every day, every week at VSiN.com, along with many others. It's great stuff pumping out throughout the entire football season. Matt, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Thanks.
Thank you.
The pro tip of the hour here on VSiN is the NFL. Reminder, the NFL is a week-to-week league. Do not overreact to teams that look great or awful in week two or pretty much early on in the season. Don't do that on a week-to-week basis. And that's our pro tip for the hour. We do one every single hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. And they're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sports and by show. Some very interesting numbers after 2 weeks in the NFL. Up next, also, forget about winning survivor pools. Do you know how difficult it is to simply advance? The alarming proof is coming up next.
BetRivers Sportsbook app has a huge number of live streaming events every day. BetRivers Sportsbook has great offers, including a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, and all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Amazing offers and great customer service makes BetRivers your hometown sportsbook. Your hometown sportsbook. Your hometown sportsbook. Your hometown.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Kick off the football season. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, your go-to book. Every line, every boost, every special. Lace it up week three. Bet Rivers Parlay Insurance and Touchdown Insurance. Every Sunday all season long, build a parlay of at least four legs. If it loses, get your stake back as a free bet up to $25. Wager on any player to score the first touchdown on Sunday Night Football. Get your money back as a free bet if they score at any time. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game.
College football handicapper, professional bettor Paul Stone joins the program now on Twitter at Paul Stone Sports. That's also the name of his podcast, where you can listen, download, and subscribe to that as well. Paul, good morning. Thanks for the time as always. I want to begin with this Florida-Tennessee game that we have coming up. Huge game in the SEC. I bet a little bit on the opener with Florida plus 10. I'm on the wrong side of this move. Tennessee's now 11.5. What did you make the number, and what are your overall thoughts on this contest?
Well, I made it. You know, I'm making my opening numbers pretty close to Matt Metcalf at this point, with some data points, a few games being played. I actually made Tennessee a 12-point favorite with a total of 62, And, you know, on the surface, I think you've got, on one hand, you've got a Tennessee team that's steamrolled, you know, two thoroughly outmanned opponents from the MAC conference, and also won in overtime on the road against a, you know, a high-quality Power 5 opponent in Pittsburgh. And then on the other, you've got a Florida team, which was one of the big stories of week one after they nipped seventh-ranked Utah in the swamp. But in retrospect, they're just a couple of plays away from being 0-3. In week two, they fall at home to Kentucky 28-16 and then survived rebuilding South Florida 31-28 this past Saturday, also at home. But even at 11, you know, I think many handicappers' first gut reaction, especially maybe newbies to the craft, their first impression might be to take Tennessee and lay the double digits. And the Volunteers, they may very well cover the healthy number, but a word of caution, you know, Florida has dominated this series in recent times. They've won 29 of the last 36 meetings between the schools, including 16 of the last 17. And sometimes in college football, when a team has demonstrated that kind of domination, sort of a stronghold over a rival, you know, it may kind of have that school's number. They may be in their heads a little bit, and you can bet the Gators know they're getting double digits despite owning the Volunteers in recent years. We talk about buy low, sell high in the betting marketplace. So, you know, I think that's something you have to consider here, even though Tennessee looks like the play maybe to some. You know, Florida has controlled this series in recent years.
Can you have a total this high in a Clemson game? I know it's Wake Forest and the Clemson 7-55, but based on how bad they've been on offense and how good their defense is, can you make a total this high?
You know, I made it 54.5, and ooh, I think I see the total at 55 right now. I'm seeing 7-55, and I made Clemson 9.5 with a total of 54.5. And I'm not sure you can. I mean, one thing, you know, Wake Forest last week, they defeated Liberty 37-36 when the Flames went for a potential game-winning two-point conversion in the final minute and a half of the game. But looking back at that game, Wake only averaged 4.9 yards per play against Liberty. And that was a Liberty defense that allowed 5.8 yards per play this season against Southern Miss and 6.1 yards per play against UAB. And like you said, Wake now has to face a Clemson defense, which is one of the, you know, the nation's very best. And, you know, last year, one thing that I would give is kind of a word of caution based on the total here is Clemson, as bad as they were offensively last year, and they're clearly better this year. DJ Uiagalelei, he hadn't, you know, set the world on fire in 2022, but he's been better. He's been serviceable. But last year against Wake, Clemson scored 48 points, 542 total yards, 7.3 yards per play. So they really erupted as bad as they were last year against this Wake defense. So I'm not going to have a play on that game, but you do have to, you know, be a little bit concerned with the total being there as good as Clemson's defense is.
Did you do anything early on with this Duke-Kansas game? I know the total. I bet the total over 60.5. It's up to 64.5 right now. And look at this. Kansas, good story here. Both teams are a good story. They're laying 9 now at home to this Duke team.
Yeah, and I played Kansas minus 9. I made this the line right now, I believe, as you said, Kansas minus 9 with a total of 64.5. I made this game minus 10 with a total of 66. But you look at these two teams, and I think early in the season it's important for handicappers to look at who teams have played as much or even more so than how they played. And I think that really rings true in this matchup. You know, first of all, if you look at Duke, the Blue Devils, they've defeated in getting to 3-0, both these teams being 3-0 to this point. The Blue Devils have defeated one of the worst FBS teams in all of college football, Temple. Mm-hmm. They've defeated an FCS team, North Carolina A&T. And in between, Duke won at Northwestern. But Northwestern's week zero win over Nebraska in Dublin, Ireland now doesn't carry much weight. You know, the Wildcats, obviously Nebraska's woes are much reported. The Wildcats this past weekend lost at home 31-24 to Southern Illinois, not only an FCS team, but a below-average FCS team. So that win doesn't carry much weight. So I'm not really impressed with Duke's 3-0 start. But looking at Kansas, Kansas off back-to-back road wins at West Virginia and Houston. The Mountaineers, a good football team, certainly had bowl aspirations entering this season. The Cougars, they won 12 games last year, among the favorites in the American Athletic Conference in the preseason. We've only had 3 full weeks of college football, but not too many teams have 2 more impressive victories than the Jayhawks in those wins that I just mentioned there. So I believe the rest of the Big 12 is taking notice. I don't think anybody really wants to play Kansas. If you look at starting with the Texas game late last season when they upset the Longhorns in Austin winning in overtime, Kansas has covered 6 straight games by an average of 21 points per cover, all but one of those covers by less than only one of those covers by less than 14.5 points.
Wow.
So they've been outperforming the marketplace in a big way. I think Kansas wins this game by double digits over Duke.
Okay. And well, give me your best bet or play you really like this weekend.
I'm going to look at a total here, and I'm going to go to Jerry's World in Arlington, the matchup between old Southwest Conference rivals Arkansas and Texas A&M. And you look at this A&M offense, I mean, we've talked about it and you know, kind of ad nauseum already this season, only have averaged 20.7 points per game against a schedule consisting of Sam Houston, Appalachian State, and Miami, Florida. We look at this past weekend when A&M defeated Miami 17-9. They scored, of course, 17 points, but that's against a Miami defense that isn't that great. The Hurricanes had previously allowed 30 points or more to 9 of its previous 12 Power 5 opponents. They're probably a little better defensively this year, but not that much. A&M, again, 17 points, only 16 first downs, 264 yards, and averaged 5.1 yards per play against Miami, Florida. The previous week, Southern Mississippi against Miami, Florida. And Southern Miss was one of college football's most anemic offenses last year. They averaged 4.6 yards per play against the Canes, so not that much difference than A&M's performance against Miami. Max Johnson last week at quarterback for A&M, a modest improvement over Haynes King. A&M, for all its offensive woes, though, still outstanding on defense. They've only allowed 26 points all season in those 3 games. Appalachian State and Miami obviously have pretty good offenses. A&M's defense only going to get better. All 4 of their defensive line starters are new first-year starters. I think the first team to 24 wins this game. Currently can find 48.5 there at Circa. Take A&M and Arkansas under 48.5 this weekend in Arlington.
Very good. There you go. You can follow Paul on Twitter. He is at Paul Stone Sports. His podcast is also called the Paul Stone Sports Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. So the under on that game, and he also said he likes Kansas this week against Duke in that matchup. Paul, great to talk to you as always. Good luck this week, pal.
Hey, same to you guys. Love being on with you, and hope everybody has a great weekend of college football this year as we this weekend as we get close to the month of October. Week 4 coming up this weekend. Have a great one.
You bet. You too.
Thank you.
Did say he made Tennessee minus 12 against Florida.
I can't believe the North Carolina-Notre Dame line. I like Carolina. The other one, hot. These are just kids, right? That's what we forget. But how about the App State roller coaster? The North Carolina game, then you win at A&M, then you win last week on a Hail Mary game days there, and now you play James Madison, who's throttled their first 2 opponents.
Right.
That's only 8 at home.
They're good. James Madison is good. I mean, you want to talk about the letdown spot of all letdown spots for Appalachian State against a really good opponent. Okay. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Look at this, by the way. This is the cameraman in the end zone for the Hail Mary against Troy. This is so good. Do we have the volume on this? They're going absolutely crazy.
You give that up.
What an angle. What a shot.
Yeah.
They were going nuts in the end zone. We'll get to last night's NFL games coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, here we go. As Mitch mentioned, Diggs with the hat trick, 40-1 at Bet Rivers. 3 touchdowns. Took it easy on him in the second half, too. Gilliam to score the first touchdown. 70-1. As high as 80.
Come on, we all had him, right?
How about that? That's crazy. Defensive or special teams touchdown, yes, plus 280. Tannehill with the pick 6. Bills to win by more than 31 points. 20-1. Is that all? Well, yeah. I mean, that's also great at Bet Rivers. Bills and under. 7.5 up to 10. 51. Bet down to 47.5. 41-7. Hurts to score the first touchdown, 7-1. Hurts to score 2 touchdowns, plus 650. Watkins, anytime touchdown, 5-1. Goddard and Hurts both went over their props in the second quarter. I mean, that was easy, too. Again, Hurts had 250 passing at halftime. Eagles to win between 13 and 18 points at Bet Rivers, plus 650. Astros clinch. You know what we're doing today? Astros clinch the West for the fifth time in the last 6 years. They beat the Rays. Braves win. 10-1 last 11 against the Nats. Dodgers, 15-4 against the Giants. Best mark since 1899.
Wow.
How about that? I saw that Sunday after they won. Oh, God. And the Tigers surprised the Orioles, plus plus 175. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, good mix here. We got the little guy and the big guy. Let's go to River Falls. How close is that to where you're from? River Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's right next to Minneapolis, actually.
Okay, we have the Hobbit. Live like a Hobbit. Look at that little house. Not bad on the inside, but it's just like Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. You see the outside, how you want to live.
I'm kind of on board with that idea.
Okay, yeah. It goes for $315,000.
All right.
Not bad. And here's your big boy. I think this is where Bobby Axelrod lived in Billions. $250 million penthouse in New York City. Oh, look at that thing. Oh, man. Common charges and taxes, $74,000 a month.
Why not?
Look at that view, and look how big that thing is.
17,545 square feet.
Oh. Yeah, that's your big boy.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
You think, yeah. Axelrod, there you go. That is excellent. And how about this? I saw Harden at the game last night. Be the dog playing basketball, kids in the pool pad. You knock it down. There you go. Gives the dog the ball, hits it with his nose. Nothing but net. Knock it down. One lose some. Someone put, can you imagine this guy today? $385,000 on the Vikings plus the points.
Oh, boy. That was a rough one to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that is tough, right? That has got to be tough. And thanks to everyone who sent this in. Send in your tweets and videos. We'll put you on television. Going from New York City to Connecticut. I'm on the train. Look at this animal. Feet up, bare feet, right on the seat. There you go. Okay, make it in. I'm sure you don't smell either. Yeah, that's bad. Hate to see that. One bad beat, the Rockies blew it in the ninth, and the Giants came back to win. Win some, lose some. Presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Log in, get a 20% profit boost on MLB bets every Tuesday. Learn more at betrivers.com.
Okay.
Big tickets cashed. Some big tickets.
And the other 40-1 was Aaron Jones again. With
there you go.
Yep.
The most rushing yards. Some places use the Monday night game, others don't. But a lot of big tickets paid out there as well.
Okay, so what do you think of Ben joining us in studio? And where we're at right now with Prop 26, and more importantly, Prop 27 in California?
Well, I think it's a no-brainer. I understand that maybe it's unfortunate that people might get confused. The other thing, we'll explore this, dive into it tomorrow with Mike Palm, out of Derek Stevens, how do other people here feel about it? Be a game changer for Nevada if it gets legalized in California. The other thing that I cannot stand is they trot out these same people, these artifacts and relics, back with that, oh, you're going to have problem gamblers, and it's going to be a problem, and people are going to go broke, and all this. It's like anything, okay? We're a bunch of fat asses, number one, if you take around and look what's going on. Every time you go through a drive-thru, there's 20 people deep at a fast food. It's like anything in life. You have to enjoy it and do it in moderation. I love ice cream. If I eat a gallon of it, I'll get sick. But the other thing they don't address, because they don't know what they're talking about, is what people are doing. They are betting right now as we speak, but they're doing it illegally. And what gets you into trouble? The stuff that they bring up and speak of is what they're doing illegally, because you're allowed to bet on credit. You want to dig a hole and ruin your life? When you bet on credit, and you don't have to post up, and you're betting money you don't have, that's when you get buried. This one, you have to come here and post up and do it legally, okay? And it's also on the up and up, and you don't have the shenanigans and the other stuff, too. So it just drives me crazy. They trot out these same people about, oh, no, it's going to be a problem. We're going to have...
Honestly, it's like when Las Vegas was the only... Well, Nevada was the only state to have legal sports betting, and you would hear from certain pockets of the country. Then, like in the 90s, in the early 2000s, you sounded like you were 100 years old. Like, it's not as spooky as you make it sound, okay? Don't scare people with this, okay? And you're the ones that are now so far behind the times if you want to actually go with this anti, it's bad, and we're going to be terrible, and your life's going to be ruined, right? I would actually equate it. I watched the movie Elvis over the weekend, and my mom was a humongous Elvis fan growing up, so I listened to a lot of Elvis music, and I appreciated how big the guy was back then, and I knew about him, right? If you watch the movie Elvis, and a lot of that is accurate, it's like a mentality that people had back in the 50s and 60s. Young boy, you can't shake those hips in here. That's going to be bad for the crowd that we got. Just like, that's a true story.
Wasn't it Ed Sullivan?
It was before Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, he couldn't shake his hips on live television.
Yeah, absolutely right. And there was one spot where Elvis was playing, and he agreed that he was going to be this new Elvis, right? And come out and not wear the flashy clothes, and he wasn't going to shake the hips, and he was going to be kind of boring. And he changed his mind because this is not me. And he didn't tell anybody about it. And the place is packed at a baseball stadium or whatever it was. And he gets up on stage and he goes back to old Elvis. Well, all hell broke loose and the fans were going nuts. This is what they wanted to see. But you had the colonel there, who's played by Tom Hanks, who was like his manager and said, get him off the stage right now. Security rushed up on stage. Can't have this. You can't possibly have this. Shake those hips like that. We're in the 60s. Yeah, I mean, just like, that's the kind of mentality that certain people have. You're stuck. You're stuck in 60 years ago. And you need to be a little bit more progressive when it comes to this kind of thought process. I'm sorry, but you just do. It's not as evil as you make it out to be. Now, like you said, your comparison to like the fast food joint, yes. People are overweight.
Like anything, alcohol, you're right.
Of course it is, same thing.
Right.
You can go belly up to a bar anywhere in this country and drive. How about that? You can go sit there for 5 hours and watch a football game and drink till you're hammered and get in your car and take off. Well, okay. As long as you don't get busted, don't get in an accident, nothing's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly.
Yep.
So that would be if California comes on board with a population of 40 million. And I know there's another old school guard here in Las Vegas. They've always said, oh, we're not going to be impacted by this. California's a game changer.
Ben's comparison to New York, that New York's doing $1 billion a month and California's double the population. I mean, this could be it's a game changer. But we'll see what transpires in November. But the fact that people might be confused, and then we'll see here if Nathan Click can push it through. I don't know if going to bat for it, if it works out.
I'd love to see 27 go through. Be huge.
Man, you mentioned homelessness enough times too.
Oh yeah, that's the angle. I can imagine.
I know Newsom poo-pooed that, but that's just get it done. Whatever you can get it done.
Yeah, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody who lives in California, who they're a casual sports fan and they see the ads running all the time, right? And you have, they're both getting pushed and then there's anti and both, whatever it would be, it'd be a little bit confusing. I could see that. And I can imagine that they're just getting inundated with these spots and commercials left and right. No matter where you turn, that's what it's going to be. Because as they pointed out, the license fee is $100 million. Think about that. $100 million. And it's like, okay, DraftKings got to be in California, 40 million people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sign off on that. That's a lot of money. But they know, again, with the population, that that can be recuperated in no time.
I would love to see it as well. I thought Dustin made a good point, our producer, during the break, that we are still behind the times here. So whatever we must do a better job in Nevada of unique, creative props and getting, I mean, the stuff that's offered here blows your mind. We talk to people, the tweets come in. It's like, what? I go to Las Vegas? I can't bet on that? You'll be blown away by the lack of menu options out here.
Well,
you'll be stunned with what's not allowed, and it's artifacts and relics with the gaming.
Yep.
I can't have that. Can't put that up.
Well, there's also
why everyone else does it. Yeah. Oh, why? That's not how we do it.
I think a lot of books will also say that it's a lack of manpower, which I understand that part. If you don't have the amount of bodies to actually put up menus like this, we should not have. In this city, we should not have to struggle to get done on player props during the NFL season, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Player props should be readily available for the football season.
And they should be out before the game starts, too. Not like day of game.
Day of game in the morning. Exactly
kickoff.
Right. They need to be out a couple of days in advance.
Yes.
And they need to be readily available. That is absolutely frustrating.
First round leader golf tournament. That was like, forget about it. It's like finding a pot of gold in a rainbow. You couldn't find it.
Yep.
It's impossible.
All right. Kick off the football season. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. It's your go-to sportsbook for every line, boost, and special. For week 3, Bet Rivers Parlay Insurance and Touchdown Insurance offers every single Sunday all season long. Build a parlay of at least 4 legs, and if it loses, get your stake back as a free bet up to $25. Go to BetRivers.com or get the Bet Rivers app.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We love you, California, and we love First Bet. What a promotion. Forget, even if you're just a casual horse racing fan, I mean, this is the free sweepstakes to enter to win a trip to Santa Anita the 6th through the 9th of October, and you get airfare, hotel, tickets to the races, plus a $1,000 betting voucher from First Bet, and we'll kick in Portillo's. Head over to VSiN.com/horses to register, and you hang with Jeff Siegel, and it gives you some winners. VSiN.com/horses. Get up there now and register.
It's very cool. Adam Chernoff joins the program now, friend of the show, professional football bettor, and he hosts the podcast called The Simple Handicap, and he's with Covers.com. Good morning, Adam. How are you today?
Doing all right. Rough 2 weeks to start the season, but we are pushing forward.
Okay. How about we start with a little of your confidence ratings here? We all know the Bills are good, really good. Who else would you consider, like, maybe in a tier? I don't think there's anybody maybe in their tier, but maybe slightly below them. And then who do you know right now after 2 weeks is really, really bad?
So each week I do offense, defense, and I'll put them in one of five tiers from best to worst, and then I'll have a confidence applied to it. So like you said, the Bills, top offense, top defense, that was a five. So that one's easy. Miami's up there as well. I have them top and high for offense and defense, and I have those very highly rated. The only other fives, which would be the high confidence that I had, and this, a lot of these sound obvious. Chiefs offense, really good. Green Bay Packers offense, really, really good as well, which I think is kind of sneaky for some as it continues building. Seattle offense, really bad. Seattle defense, really bad. And then I have the Packers defense as really good, and I put high confidence on that. So there's a lot more threes and fours, which would be like mild confidence around teams like the Lions, the Bears, the Falcons at the bottom of the league. In terms of that middle, from like team sort of 7 to 15, that middle high range of the league, I have so many question marks, and it is very difficult to figure out, maybe more so than any first 2 weeks of any season that I've been betting in the last 15 years. There are so many teams that we thought were good that are now struggling, so many teams that we thought would be bad that have shown up. It's a weird mix at the top of the league right now outside of 3 or 4
Interesting. And good answer. How about how the future markets were affected with the Lance injury and the Niners getting Garoppolo back?
Okay, here's where I stand on this. There's two kind of different pieces at play. First and foremost, I think coming into the year, the floor with Lance was obviously significantly lower. But I thought the ceiling and how good the Niners could be was much higher. Because to me, Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of a well-known commodity within this offense right now as it stands. And so I think now the Niners prices are moving. The point spread this Sunday night is moving. I don't know how much of that is Broncos driven, but I think we know exactly what the Niners are now. And that element of unknown and that element of trying to figure out what the right price was kind of disappears. And we just go back to rating the Niners as we have the last two seasons. This is a very, very good football team. It is a top 10 football team in the league with Jimmy Garoppolo. But as we saw in the second half of that game on Sunday, the explosiveness from the offense kind of goes away. With Lance, when you look at the splits, there was a lot of space. There was a lot of big plays building up. I know they were still good against a very bad Seattle defense, but we're going to have great games from Jimmy, and we're going to have really bad ones from him too. And so everyone's saying it's an upgrade. It probably is right now for the short term, but long term, I don't know if that's the case.
Who's the better team in your ratings today, the 49ers or the Philadelphia Eagles?
The Philadelphia Eagles. I think you want all you can have of the Eagles going forward. Yes. They are a very good football team, both sides. And we saw last night what happens when they get both the pass and the run going. They were one of the most run-heavy teams a year ago. Now, if they can balance that out with a pass game, that's a scary team on both offense and that defense. I think exceptional as well.
Have you changed your mind on any team, your level of concern? Well, I was with you on the Colts. I mean, this is ugly. But your level of concern with Cincinnati and Indy?
Cincinnati, I thought, was broken down really well by Jeff Saturday, the former Colts offensive lineman, Pro Bowler. He's a really good analyst when it comes to everything on the offensive line. That was the big issue a year ago. They added a ton of talent in the offseason to fix it with four new starters. And he was looking at it and had a really good piece saying that the communication between the guys is clearly nowhere near where it needs to be. And that's a big issue. But he went further and said Joe Burrow is actually the big concern at the moment, because in the pocket, his feet are all over the place. And his eyes keep dropping down to the offensive line because he's anticipating that he's going to get pressured almost on every play. And so what we've seen through the first 2 weeks is his intended air yards, which will tell you how far downfield a quarterback tries to throw the football. Extremely low, among the lowest in the league. Against Dallas, he was just 5 yards per throw, which was the second lowest mark of any team in week two. And that was all because he's dancing around in the pocket. So I don't know how they're going to fix this, but it's kind of what we've seen every team that had a really good offense have to deal with these two deep looks. But now this offensive line can't hold up despite the better name. So since he's in a really messy spot, Indianapolis, I was so high on them coming into the season. I'm not off the bandwagon yet. Week one, it's a team that always starts slow. So you kind of give them a pass. Last week, I mean, that was as ugly as it gets, but I'll give him maybe a little bit of a pass, and I'm being lenient. They had injuries. Mm-hmm. It was a spot where historically they've really struggled early in the year going to Jacksonville. So not done yet with Indy. Obviously very concerning. Anytime you get shut up by the Jags, that's not good. But let's wait and see with Indy. There's still a lot of talent on this roster, yeah. I think, comes together.
You might get bailed out by the division, and you were right about Tennessee, who appears to be, oh boy, we might
get to see. Tennessee's done, yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. It could be Willis time soon. How about the 7-point move here in the total on the Green Bay game? And Tampa figures to be a dead under team, especially if they're playing like this, and now you don't have Evans. What do you think of this game?
They are a dead under team, and I think there's more concerns coming with the wide receiver room, because this morning, just before I came on air, they signed Cole Beasley.
Yep.
And as a better, one of the sort of easiest tip-offs when you have this like mass group of injuries like the Buccaneers have at wide receiver is if Monday morning and Tuesday morning you see the players signed at that position to the practice squad or the main roster, that kind of tells you they're expecting things to be a little bit more long-term than what they're dealing with. And so issues for the Bucs there, issues for the Buccaneers on the offensive line. They lose another left tackle last week against the Saints. And now let's see what happens with Akeem Hicks. He's a key guy, run stopper, added to that defensive line. He goes out against the Saints. New Orleans runs for 100+. If all of a sudden teams can now run on this Buccaneers front, that makes the defense a lot worse than it was with Hicks in, who's so good at that. But honestly, guys, here, I just really want to bet on the Packers again. I liked them on the money line, +115. I took them on the spread as well. But this is an offense I just want every part of. Last week, I thought it was interesting. Rodgers went on his media rounds, Pat McAfee show, but we also had the coaches getting grilled at press conferences. And they kept reiterating, we have to be patient with this team. We have so many new guys that are trying to fit into their roles. It's going to get better week after week. We're going to keep building and figure it out. And what also occurred was Elgton Jenkins returned at right tackle. And after the game, Rodgers said how much comfortable he was with him at right tackle. A ton of big runs went behind him. And we get Alan Lazard back last week as well. So this team is continuing to get better week after week. That defense is so fast and so good on the other side of the ball. If this offense continues to improve, I still think the Packers are really underpriced for how good this team could be. So I'm continuing to bet on the Packers. I really like them in this spot against the Bucs team that's got a lot of issues on both sides right now. So on the money line, +115, Green Bay, really good bet this week.
Great call by you last week, by the way, on Aaron Jones when we talked to you on Friday. We have like a minute left here. You look at the board, you see a lot of games in the low 40s, somewhere in the 30s. Games are averaging what after 2 weeks? 41 points per game, is that it? Why do you think that is?
It's this mass shift to soft zone coverage that teams can't quite figure out. Like we just talked about with Cincinnati. They're seeing these looks. They know that they're coming. You have Joe Burrow calling out Zach Taylor after the games. You have Jamar Chase calling him out saying, teams know what we're doing. They're sitting back and we can't counter it. And so there's this defensive shift across the league. It's going into really soft coverages. It's keeping everything in front. It's slowing the game down. We're seeing a lot fewer plays per game on average for a handful of teams, and offenses are just having a tough time figuring it out. The two offenses that faced it the most last season, Buffalo and Kansas City, they had all offseason to figure it out. And through 2 weeks so far, we've seen both of those offenses look better than any other in the entire league. And there's a reason why, and it's because they're really good against these coverages and figuring it out. So other teams have to catch up. I don't put some of these coaching staffs nearly on the same level as Buffalo and KC, but it's a shift that's league-wide at the moment, and it's really slowing a lot of these games down.
You can listen and download his podcast. It's called The Simple Handicap, and also follow Adam on Twitter, at Adam Chernoff, to find out everything else that he's doing, specifically with covers.com. Thanks, pal. We appreciate the time. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys. Chat to you Friday.
Yep.
Thanks, Adam.
We'll check out player props at that time, and we'll get in-pocket plays for you coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.